My dearly beloved in Christ, we celebrate today the Feast of the Visitation of Our Lady, which is the second joyful mystery of the Rosary. So we read in the first chapter of St. Luke that when the Archangel Gabriel appeared to Our Lady, announced to her that she had been chosen to be the Mother of God, to bring forth the Redeemer, Our Lady said, "How shall this happen, since I do not know man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And therefore the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, also has conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing shall be impossible with God." So this is how Our Lady knew that her cousin Elizabeth was with child. And immediately she thought of going to assist her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth was elderly. She had not had any children before. And now she's the mother of John the Baptist, a child that is also a child of promise. And our Blessed Mother's first thought is to go and visit her elderly cousin and help her in her need, even though our Blessed Mother herself was now with child. She didn't think of herself. She went to alleviate the needs of her cousin Elizabeth. Now, in those days, of course, travel was not what it is today. And for our Blessed Mother to go on a fairly lengthy journey, Ein Kerim, the town where Elizabeth lived, is 6 miles west of Jerusalem, quite a ways away from Nazareth. But Our Lady immediately thought not of herself, but of her cousin and her needs. And so she made this journey. And as we read in the Gospel, she greets Elizabeth, and what happens? The child in the womb of Elizabeth leapt for joy. John the Baptist was cleansed of original sin, even in the womb of his mother. Elizabeth praised Our Lady, and Our Lady said the beautiful words of a canticle that we call the Magnificat, by which she gave all the credit to Almighty God. "My soul magnifies the Lord. He who is mighty has done great things to me. Henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he who is mighty has done great things for me." So we admire in this event, this mystery of the Rosary, Our Lady's humility, her charity, but it is especially her charity that I would like to emphasize. Because notice that no one asked Our Lady to go visit Elizabeth. She was, so to speak, on the lookout to do good, to practice charity. And likewise, we should imitate our Blessed Mother and not wait to be asked when our neighbor is in need. Now, who is our neighbor? We recall that parable of the Good Samaritan. A scribe asked our Lord, "Which is the greatest commandment?" And he said, "The greatest is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, for the love of God." But then the man, wishing to justify himself, said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And our Lord told the parable of the Good Samaritan, the gist of which is anyone in need is our neighbor. So our charity extends to all men, although there is a certain hierarchy. First and foremost, we are obligated to love our own family, those with whom you live, your own parents, brothers, sisters, children, those with whom we are closest. There's the first obligation. But the second obligation would be to members of the same parish, and indeed members of Holy Mother Church. And in this regard, I would like to quote St. Paul to the Galatians, where he said, "In doing good, let us not grow tired, for in due time we shall reap if we do not relax. Therefore, while we have time, let us do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. So St. Paul in those words is telling us that we have a greater obligation to our fellow Catholics. But then after that, we would have an obligation of charity to all men. And that is what the parable of the Good Samaritan conveys. Now, the question may come up, well, why should I love my neighbor? Especially, you might have a neighbor who is not only not Catholic, but maybe even anti-Catholic. You think, well, why should I love that person? And the answer is, because Almighty God created all men, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for all, and he loves everyone and desires the salvation of all men. The only ones we can't love, that cannot be an object of our charity, would be the souls in hell, because they are permanently separated from God. But even the greatest sinner on this earth could convert and save his immortal soul. And pray God, sinners do convert and save their souls. Our Lord said, whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you have done to me. So that is our motive of charity. We practice charity towards our neighbor for the love of Almighty God. And is it not true that sometimes it's very difficult to do? We may have certain neighbors, certain fellow parishioners even, certain ones who are close to us, that we have a hard time practicing charity towards. We are just annoyed by their personality, their temperament, their mannerisms. We're all different. And so sometimes it's a real challenge to be charitable towards others. But we see in them Christ, because he said, whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you have done it to me. So that, again, is our motive for practicing charity. Now, in what ways do we practice charity? Well, there are three aspects here to consider. One is charity of thought. One is charity in speech, our words. And then third, charity in action. And we should think about and emphasize internal charity, charity of thought in our mind, in our heart, because how we are disposed towards others often dictates how we act towards them, how we speak about them. If you have wounded charity in your speech, denigrating others, talking about their faults and failings and so forth, gossiping, it's probably because you really don't like that person. So if we correct our uncharitable thoughts, our uncharitable disposition toward others, we're less likely to offend in word or deed. Sometimes we are guilty of rash judgment, and that means that we jump to a conclusion that is detrimental to another's good name without adequate evidence. And that's a fairly common sin that is committed, rash judgment. How does the Imitation of Christ put it? We frequently think ill of others because we are not kindly disposed towards them. We're quick to judge, quick to jump to a conclusion that is, again, detrimental to that person's honor, to that person's name. So we start with our thoughts. We don't judge. We're charitably disposed. And when we cannot excuse the deeds of another or the doings of another, we say, well, I will pray for that individual. So we have, again, a charitable disposition. Second, in our words, how careful we must be in our speech, because it's so easy to say something and then later on regret it and think, I wish I hadn't said that. I'm going to have to render an account to Almighty God for those words. Be careful, especially, to not get into gossip. There's an old saying that you shouldn't say something about another person that you wouldn't say if the person was standing right there. That is a very good rule of thumb. If you think about it, you will not offend against charity in your speech. If we don't say something about others that we wouldn't willingly say if that person were standing right there listening. And then thirdly, there is charity indeed in action. Now, last Sunday, I was speaking about the heresies of Luther, who said that faith alone saves you. You don't need works, good works. And that is so contrary to so many quotations in Scripture. But here is one from St. James. What will it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And if a brother or sister be naked and in want of daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what does it profit? So faith too, unless it has works, is dead in itself. And he goes on, speaking about Abraham, you see that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith also without works is dead. Well, what does he mean by works? So often saying works, that means works of charity, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. That's how we prove our charity indeed. And again, let us be like Our Lady. No one asked her to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She did it of her own volition, her own realization. My cousin is going to need help. I will go to her. So let us, as we reflect upon Our Lady's visit to her cousin Elizabeth, let us reflect upon the importance of the virtue of charity, fraternal charity, charity towards one another. Let us remember the words of our Lord. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Let us pray to Our Lady today to help us be more charitable, to be more like her in our thoughts, our words, our deeds, in charity towards our neighbor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.